Blog Talk Radio. Greetings, beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. That was My Savior Loves, My Savior Lives by Casting Crowns, one of my very, very favorite contemporary Christian songs. Indeed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ loves us, and he lives today. Amen. Greetings to listeners. Reminders of how you can get in contact with me on Facebook. Look up Dacia Smith Twitter. You can email me, dcsm77@gmail.com or divineexperience77@gmail.com. I'm also on Google Plus. Excuse me. Having a little bit of a throat sinus drainage issue. And Instagram as well, though I never really check my Instagram account, but that's okay. Personal update. So last weekend we had Praise in the Park, and my church did, where we passed out some tracts and we just basically kind of fellowshipped with the people in the park. There were a lot of barbecues last weekend in Overton Park here in Memphis. It was a wonderful opportunity to just share the gospel with other people. Beautiful. And also last Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, I spent with my grandmother at her church, my mom's mother, and I brought her and my mom back to my house for dinner, Resurrection Sunday dinner, and I cooked everybody the full meal, all of it. I did chicken, I did salmon, I did cornbread, I did macaroni and cheese, I did sautéed vegetables, I did mashed potatoes, I did all those things. So it was a huge accomplishment and feat for me, because I've never done that before for a holiday dinner. So praise the Lord, they did enjoy it. We had a wonderful time of fellowship and family fun. This past week, we started learning how to place orders for our meals in my ASL class, my sign language class, because our last class is May 6th. So we're actually going to go to a restaurant and order in sign language. So I'm very excited about that. We also had a car wash fundraiser this weekend for Smile Train, which is an international organization that raises money to pay for cleft palate surgeries for underprivileged children. So we raised over $260 for that. $250 pays for a surgery. So praise the Lord, we exceeded our goal. And we rained out of today's community service project, but, you know, God is good anyway, because there's still much work to be done. So we will have time to reschedule that. And I've been on a spiritual fast and prayer vigil this weekend, 3 days, about my roles in relationships, various relationships in my life, my role as a mother and a daughter, as a sister, just to verify in my church, and in my personal relationships, you know, romantic relationships, et cetera. So the Lord dealt with me in a lot of tough stuff this weekend, but I needed to do that, and I heard from the Lord very clearly about some steps I needed to take and things I need to do. So that was a blessing. Praise reports. 4 weeks of school left. Yay! And 10 days until our Washington, D.C. trip. Paul and I are going to Washington, D.C. My son and I are going to Washington, D.C. with my school. So we will be there for a couple of days, and that's very exciting. Prayer requests for students taking standardized tests and end-of-year tests over the next couple of weeks, because next week at my school, they'll be taking the TCAT, which is the state standardized test in Tennessee, and my son will be taking that at his school, and I know my older sister, who's an administrator in Georgia, they have taken theirs, I think, this past week. So just for the demonstration of knowledge and relief of test anxiety, for confidence and preparation. So it's a very trying time, and even teachers, of course, definitely, as an educator myself, it is just a very angst-producing time, you know, for us. And then certainly, you know, careers are on the line with these test performances and such. So it can be, you know, very distressing. So I just pray for just peace and solace, you know, in the Lord with all of it. And I also want to pray for those who are facing spiritual tests that can be anxiety-inducing and stressful. For the Holy Spirit to provide guidance and assurance to them that all tests come to an end, just like the tests that we take in school or in education, they come to an end. The tests of life do come to an end, and God's glory will be revealed. So let's have opening prayer. Father God in heaven, I just pray right now, Lord, for your peace that surpasses all understanding to come over each and every person who must have any part in these upcoming tests, Father God. The powers that be have just caused, you know, so much stress and, you know, a great deal of discomfort about these tests. You know, they're very, very daunting in how we are told they're going to be used to just determine the efficacy of a teacher, Father God, and even for students, Lord, with some of them being based on their promotion and, you know, calculated into their grades and so forth. So everybody is enduring a great deal of stress. So, Father God, I just pray for your peace to come over everybody, that sense of solitude and just the tranquility, Father God, that is going to get us through this, you know, very challenging time that we face. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So our people of influence for this week, the students, teachers, and families of Grandwood Elementary, that's the school where I currently teach, for helping with the Smile Train fundraiser. We just had such a delightful time. The students' children enjoyed washing the cars. Even my son, my big, tall son, who towered above all of them, he pitched in. And, you know, there were even some parents that came and pitched in. So it just it's wonderful to see. It's so beautiful and refreshing to see people come together for a philanthropic endeavor, and, you know, to see the value and recognize the value in that and want to contribute. Also for Adventist Community Services of Memphis, that's our team here locally. Our churches come together and we do these neighborhood cleanup projects twice a year. And for volunteer tutors in Memphis who have, because, you know, doing it for money, and I understand that sometimes that's a person's career, how they earn their living by offering tutoring programs, but I really want to commend and give, you know, a special acknowledgement to those who are doing this for free out of the goodness of their hearts, working with students in preparation for these tests. And we have We have some of those tutors at Grandwood as well. Now, our guiding scriptures for this week, obviously involving spiritual tests. What does the Bible say about being tested? James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect. Then you'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through, I think this is 3, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. And Psalm 92, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So the faithfulness in Christ Jesus is what allows us to be able to endure and survive these tests. So, testing, 1, 2, 3. How much testing can there be? Testing, round and round, test ourselves into the ground. Testing, until we croak. All this testing, such a joke. Something I just came up with last week. We're getting ready for the TCAP test and our Stanford Achievement Test for our younger grade students, but all year long there have been such a preponderance of, you know, tests, these so-called formative assessments that allow us to see, you know, gauge where our students are performing. But, the tests now are so numerous and extensive. I mean, the children can barely breathe and really enjoy learning because it's all geared toward, you know, these scores. There definitely needs to be prayer for the state of Tennessee because our Tennessee Education Association has brought 2 lawsuits against the state of Tennessee for the unconstitutional use of the Tennessee Value Added Assessment System, which basically is the process of how the state of Tennessee determines teachers' grow students academically in terms of how much they know or how much they are learning each year. And so this is the percentage that's calculated into a teacher's evaluation. And there was some type of referendum in Tennessee, the state of Tennessee at the Capitol, to have teachers' licensures or licensure statuses be based upon this TVOS score of how much students are growing, and it's an outrage to educators because there are so many factors, there are a myriad of factors that go into how much a student grows academically. It's not just the good first teaching of the educator, but in fact we know those less quantifiable variables such as, you know, internal student motivation. I mean, a teacher can motivate a student externally to a point, but then there comes a point where that student has to desire and want to learn. And then, of course, the parental involvement factor. So these pieces are, you know, these pieces are very significant. So what the educators are saying, you know, in TEA is like, no, you know, to say that my license can be suspended or revoked because a child has not grown to a certain extent in an academic year is, you know, preposterous. I mean, it's completely outrageous because there are so many other things to be considered. So that is being brought against Bill Haslam and Commissioner Huffman. So that is going to be interesting. But anyway, here are some ways to reduce test anxiety and high-stakes test stress for children and students, or even for yourself if you're in school. Because indeed, test anxiety is a major issue now. It's psychosomatic in a lot of cases. I mean, people literally get sick physically sick. Some even have to be hospitalized because of the conditions that result from the test anxiety. So here are some ways to alleviate that. Number one, first and foremost, you want to pray together about the success of the test. Pray with your children. Pray with your family, because it really does start with just petitioning the Lord to give you or to give that child that sense of victory over that test. You know, there are questions on a sheet of paper on a computer, and, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So to know that, yes, you know, they can, in fact, champion that test. Number two, speak encouraging or inspirational words to your children about their intelligence and readiness. You know, words have life. And so when we speak life into our children, or whoever they may be, godchildren or nieces or nephews or whomever, you know, you have in your life at that stage, you know, that does wonders. I mean, that could just really brighten a child's future to know that someone they love and care about and admire and look up to in their lives is speaking that positivity, you know, toward them. And, you know, spend some family fun time together before the test. Many times we talk about, and I've been guilty of this with my son, you know, you do well on the test, we're going to do this, it's going to be our celebration, it's going to be your reward. But we do need to also, you know, have some enjoyment before that big test day, because it really helps to just unwind and relax. And it's, you know, it's refreshing, it's rejuvenating. We had a TCAP talent show at my school on Friday, and it was so entertaining to just watch the students just enjoy themselves and share their gifts and their talents with their classmates and with the families and, you know, the faculty and staff at the school. So, you know, plan whatever kind of, no matter how small, but some little event or activity, you know, prior to the test. Number four, help your child review important skills and concepts at home. You can do this in a really enjoyable way, you know, through games, educational games on the computer or board games or such, or just quizzing, that kind of thing. But definitely, you know, we need the parental support. And we had some TCAP family nights at my school. I'm sure other schools do that as well with their state tests, where we invite the families and the parents and say, hey, you're a part of this too. You know, you are just as critical and crucial to this child's success, even more so than, you know, the educators at the school. The biggest stakeholder is truly, the biggest stakeholders are truly the parent and child, because they spend the most time together. And number five, ensure your child eats a nutritious breakfast and gets a good night's sleep during the entire testing period. And so that's major, because when students are, you know, restless or cranky, or, you know, when they have hunger pains and such, that definitely interferes with their, you know, ability to, you know, make good judgment calls on the questions and, you know, just be at the height of their, you know, maximum level of performance. So all of those are key factors. Now, surviving spiritual tests. So let's just be honest with each other. Nobody wants to be tested, right? I mean, if we were to take a poll of all Christians in America and ask the question, do you like being tested in life, spiritual tests and battles, I think it would be 100% no, right? If God told us tomorrow there would be no more tests and trials in our lives, we would all shout for joy, like, yes! But we know why we must be tested. And we understand that it matures us spiritually and draws us closer to Him, our Heavenly Father. So we know, as difficult as it is worth it in the end, right? Those of you who have experienced childbirth, like myself, and especially natural childbirth, and especially childbirth without the aid of an epidural like myself, you know that experience of childbirth, you know, is unforgettable, and it is excruciatingly painful, and, you know, there's just a lot that goes into that. But when the child is born, you know, you know that it was all worth it, and you would go back through and you know, endure, you know, the pain again. So it's the same thing in life. When we emerge from a test on the other side or a trial, and we can see how it built us up and how we are stronger because of that adversity. And even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was tested for these very same reasons when he came to earth fully human but also fully divine, incapable of sinning, but fully capable of being tested and tried. And Paul reminds us that we serve a Savior who is tempted in all points as are we, and can empathize with us on all levels. So that's why we can feel that close contact with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he knows, he lived it. And how did Jesus survive the spiritual tests? If we want to know how to survive them, we have to look to the source. We have to look to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ Almighty. And Jesus always referred back to Scripture, and he was continuously in prayer. So those are the two key strategies he used. He stayed engrossed in the Word of God, and he prayed incessantly. And so if he had to do that, being perfect, then how much more do we, being imperfect, have to do the same thing? Because we all have a natural tendency to become complacent when things are going well, just like Job. Job was an honorable man of God, you know. He was God-fearing. He loved the Lord. He served the Lord faithfully. Did Job get complacent? Naturally so. He was so abundantly blessed. He was, you know, incredibly favored of God. And so it's just something that just happens, not that it's intentional, but we get to a point where we are so comfortable in, you know, how the Lord has blessed us, that when we're knocked this way and that, and the storms of life come by, it throttles us, you know, it just, you know, it completely, you know, knocks us off our feet because we weren't expecting it. We've gotten used to, you know, a certain way that things operate. And so that's why, and it's not that it's a complete break in our relationship with the Lord, but what happens is over time, gradually, we become distanced from our dependency on God because we see what's tangible before us, and we, you know, we tend to place some stock or some worth in that. And so it's definitely nothing that we do purposefully, but it just, you know, over time, it takes on, you know, that kind of consistency. Our lives get busy, or we get caught up in secular business. So we don't have the spiritual strength to stand when we haven't been nourishing ourselves as plentifully. So we look at Job and his challenges and his struggles, and we know that he got discouraged in the midst of them. And even his friends, they were judgmental and condescending and critical. You know, his wife was even to the point where she was ready to give up on God. But he said, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. I'll be faithful to him. And that's where we have to be in our test. We have to be the point that, Father God, whatever you, you know, call into my life for me to have to face, or, you know, to have to handle, I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to believe in your power to deliver me and redeem me from it. And I'm not going to give up hope. I'm going to praise and worship you in the midst of the trial for the deliverance. See, that's what God wants from us. He wants for us to have that kind of, you know, monumental faith in him, that even though we don't see the victory, we know it's there, you know, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And that's in any test we're in life. You know, my mother's in a test right now with, you know, learning how to walk again on her own, and this is almost going on 4 years, you know, but you can't give up hope. You know, we have to keep, you know, believing, claim the victory, keep walking in victory as an overcomer. I love that song by Mandisa, "You're an Overcomer." Stay in the fight till the final round. Don't give up. You know, that's what Jacob did. His name was changed to Israel. He wrestled with God all night long, and he was blessed. His entire household was blessed, generations and generations to come. So that's what we need to do. And another thing I want to point out as we go into our final minutes, and this is going to really sting with some people, because I know it really did, you know, it stung with me when I had to face this conclusion for myself, that if you are continually being tested in the same area, then you're not learning what God, we are not learning what God wants us to learn. For years, I was testing the area of finances over and over again, having so many struggles and issues with finances, bank account constantly being in the red, all this kind of thing. Well, a lot was going on with that in terms of, you know, mismanagement of funds or whatever, but I was also not a good steward of my money. I wasn't always tithing faithfully, because I was scared of not having enough to survive, these kinds of things. And that's a biblical principle that I was disregarding. So I continued to have that problem until two things happened. I became faithful in my tithe because I wanted to be, not to get something from God, but because the spiritual conviction came over me, this belongs to God and I'm giving him first fruits. I'm having that faith that he's going to sustain me. And the second thing was, you know, getting on that budget and streamlining so that, you know, I didn't live above my means. So those two things in terms of stewardship. If you're testing the area of relationships over and over again, you know, we're not learning what we need to learn. So you find yourself relationships failing over and over again. You're getting in and out. There's a whole lot of drama. There's something, there's a piece that's missing. There's something we're not hearing from the Lord. If it's in health, you know, what are some changes you need to make in your health, maybe in terms of your diet or in terms of habits or something? And sometimes there are those exceptions, like in the case of Job, where, you know, the Lord just needs to test your faith. And it may not necessarily be anything that you've done, but it's just a time to test your faith because complacency set in. That can happen too. But we always need to self-evaluate and self-assess to see if we're being tested continually in the same area, why, so that we can grow, so that we can get victory over that particular challenge. So, again, I want to pray for each and every person in the tests that you have in life, that we will face in life inevitably until the Lord comes to get us again. Just hold on. Keep the faith. Our Father God loves each and every one of us, and he is going to deliver us in due time. So have a fabulous week, and I will be before you again, God willing, in exactly 1 week. Be blessed.